And Warwick Hadfield joins us now with some sports news. Hi, Warwick.
Hi, Fran.
Well, an historic moment for Australia in cricket, beating India in the one day in Delhi this morning.
Yeah, Fran, look, for the first time ever, an Australian side has recovered from being 2-0 down to win a best of five series in the longer form of white ball cricket. And to do that in India, Steve Waugh's fabled final frontier without Steve Smith, David Warner, for reasons which everyone knows, and following one of the most traumatic periods in the game, particularly in modern times, it's a moment to savour, and savour it Aaron Finch's players did after the win this morning. Australia batted first at the Firoz Shah Kotla postage stamp last night. Usman Khawaja, who once couldn't bat on the subcontinent to save himself, he scored another century. Peter Handscomb, a half century, and with a bit of cobbling from the fast bowlers, Australia reached 272, and you weren't sure then whether that was enough. But then came an even performance in the field. Adam Zampa getting three wickets with his leg spin, Alex Carey two stumpings, and he was involved in perhaps the turning point in the match when Marcus Stoinis dismissed Virat Kohli, the Indian captain, for a relatively modest 20. Caught at the wicket. India all out for 237. So Australia now heads to the Middle East for another bunch of white ball matches as the Australian hierarchy tries to find a way to seamlessly integrate Smith and Warner back into the team ahead of the World Cup in England. Now, March 29th, Fran, it's turning out to be quite a day in history. Brexit. And, of course, one exit and, of course, two returns if Smith and Warner are allowed back into the Australian side, and all the runes are saying they will be. But it's going to be a delicate situation for Justin Langer, Aaron Finch and everybody else involved, Fran.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, in tennis, Ashley Barty, she's going to have to wait a little longer to make the top 10.
Well, she will make it, Fran. She lost an Homeric three-setter, the longest match so far this year, to Elena Svitolina. That was at the tournament in Indian Wells, the Masters there. The score, 7-6, 5-7, 6-4. It went for more than 3 hours. And in fact, Barty was leading 3-1.
Gee, that's close, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And Barty was leading 3-1 in the final set. But overall, she had let slip 11 break points throughout the match. And that's something, I think, about which she'll spend some time in contemplation, as she does improve and constantly improve and consistently improves her rankings. And there's no doubt at some stage she will make the top 10. But she'll just, when the rankings come out on Monday, Fran, she will be at number 11.
Oh, well, close, but not close enough. In football, another loss for Sydney FC in the Asian Champions League in Japan.
Yeah, they just can't win against the Japanese sides. The Sky Blues beaten 1-0 by Kawasaki Frontale. It could have been much worse, though, Fran. The Japanese had 20 shots on goal to two, and that meant that Sydney's FC goalkeeper Andrew Mayne was as busy as that blowfly with the blue derriere. But in the 83rd minute, though, he finally succumbed to the relentless pressure, the substitute Manabu Saito scoring the winning goal for Frontale, Fran.
Okay, thanks, Warwick. And Warwick, I suppose we should say with Ashley Barty, it's worth remembering, you know, it's not that long ago that she came back to tennis, and she's knocking on the door of the top 10, so that's pretty great. In rugby league, as the season kicks off tonight, the NRL's Todd Greenberg has a message for players who don't want to abide by the rules on off-field behaviour. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, Fran, look, the CEO went on the NRL's in-house broadcaster last night, that's pay TV, to make that declaration. The matters arising, of course, around the sport's new no-fault suspension policy, which is now a rule, but more generally, any more of the antisocial behaviour to which male rugby league players seem more susceptible than other members of the sporting cohort. And look, yes, tonight the season kicks off. Melbourne, which has been on a bit of a campaign to get back the premierships it lost because of breaches of the salary cap, and which it's got absolutely no hope there. The Storm playing Brisbane, and Fran, no matter how good a yarn you might get tonight between 7:30 and 9:30, don't ring the executive producer. I'm told that Kim Landers is a huge Broncos fan.
Huge. Say no more. In rugby union, the women's sevens game is in expansion mode. More games and enticing more players from other sports.
Yeah, look, Fran, there are going to be two more rounds of the Sevens World Series this year. And, of course, this is in the build-up to the Tokyo Olympics. And also with that in mind, the Australian women's Sevens side, the people behind the power, are looking to replicate what the Pearls did so successfully in the lead-up to their last gold medal at the Olympics. That's recruiting players from other sports. There are full-time contracts on offer, the chance to see the world. The Sevens tournament's played everywhere. And, of course, part of the world will be Tokyo, the venue for the 2020 Olympics. And, Fran, how do you reckon Erin Phillips would go in rugby union?
I reckon she'd go well at anything, but I'd just keep her in the AFLW. It's safer. Warwick, thanks very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield, you're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 25 minutes to 8.